In the story that's in our scripture reading this morning, the question of the hour was how to feed the crowd. They had come to hear Jesus teach, and of course Jesus is concerned about not only even when he walked the face of the earth as he is today, he's not only concerned about our spiritual needs, but he's concerned about our physical needs, and he was back then. He was talking to his disciples, said, these people are going to be hungry. Where are we going to get food to feed them? And Philip says, 200 pennyworth of bread. Now, pennyworth was a day's wages. And so what Philip was saying, hey, if I had 200 days of wages, it wouldn't be enough to feed all these people. This passage talks about the 5,000 men, but you read it in the other Gospels, it says, and the women. And if it was like most Baptist churches, there was probably twice as many women as there was men. And so you're talking about a crowd of 15,000 people. Oh, by the way, I forgot, looking at Lois, told me yesterday down at the soup kitchen, they fed 200 people. 200 people. All the men and women, she has had a lot of children yesterday. So thank you to everybody that went down there and was a part of that. But 15,000 people. And Philip said, hey, if we had 200 penny worth of bread, it wouldn't be enough for everybody to have a little bit. And Andrew comes along, and he'd been surveying the crowd. He'd been going out and looking at the crowd. And he said, hey, Lord, there's a little boy here. The only lunch I've seen in the whole crowd. He's got 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes. And then he makes this statement. And by the way, he was telling Jesus, that here is a lunch. Here's something that you can use. But he says, it's kind of small. And what is that among so many? And again, another illustration of where our faith is mixed with doubt. And that's okay with God. I mean, he wants our faith to grow. But he says, even Andrew said, hey, here's a little bitty lunch, and maybe you can use this to feed some of the crowd, but it's really small, and I don't know what it's going to do to feed all these people. He was saying, Lord, I think you could do it. I hope. But it's going to take something big because all you got these 5 little pieces of bread and these 2 little fishes. But I would remind you that regardless how little that we have, if we, like this young boy, will place it in the hands of Jesus, he will do things that we cannot comprehend. He will do things that are impossible to us if we will just take the little bit that we have and give it to him. So Jesus said, have everybody sit down. I think he got them organized. I mean, another place it tells them that they sat in groups of 50 and 100. And so he said, have everybody sit down. And so he took the lunch and he looked up to heaven and he prayed and he began to break it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, okay, you go feed Peter, you go feed this group. Matthew, you go feed this group. And Andrew, you go feed this group. And they fed the whole crowd. Everybody had enough to eat. I mean, it's like, where's Brother Harold? Oh, well, I won't pick on him. But it's like when somebody who will remain nameless goes to Old Country Buffet. I mean, they just keep going back and going back and going back and going back and going back. And that's what these people did. They just kept going back, and they got all they wanted to eat. I mean, it was like going to a buffet. All they had was fish and bread, but they got all they wanted. And Jesus said, I don't want anything to be wasted, and Jesus doesn't waste anything. It goes along with my message. You'll see in a moment. He does not waste a thing. He said, I want you to gather up all the leftovers. And the disciples went through and they had some baskets and they gathered up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. And some people think, well, there was 12 baskets, 12 disciples, so each of the disciples got to take a basket home. I don't think that's the way it happened. I think what happened is the little boy that shared his lunch got all 12 baskets. I think Jesus picked out 12 men. This is not in the Bible, just what I think. But I think Jesus got 12 men. He said, I want you to follow this little boy home. I want you to carry these baskets home. And I can just see the little boy as he gets close to his house, and he hollers out, Mama, Mama, come and see. You'll never believe what happened to me today. And here he comes into the house, and his mom says, who are these guys with you? He said, they're carrying the groceries. They're carrying the leftovers. Let me tell you what happened today. And because that's the way God works. We give him a little bit, and he multiplies it. That's hence the title of my message this morning, Our Multiplying God. I don't know how big the basket was that this little boy started with. I mean, let's say he had a little basket and it was full. God multiplied it at least 12 times. I think he multiplied it more than that. I think he might have had a little basket that held the five little loaves and the two little fishes, but when the 12 baskets, they were great big baskets, and God always gives us more than we give him. He always multiplies what we offer to him. Even though he uses it and uses us, we end up with more than we started with. He's a multiplying God. Now, I'll tell you this morning, the devil is just the opposite. The devil will use us and use things and use them up and empty them out. And when they get empty, he throws them away and says, you got nothing more to give. Jesus was talking to Peter before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. They sift wheat, and they broke the hulls off of the wheat, and they'd throw it up in the air, and the hulls would blow away, and the heavier wheat would fall to the bottom, but basically there'd be nothing left. And Jesus said, that's what the devil wants to do to you, Peter. He wants to use you up. He wants to take everything that you have and leave you with nothing. And I'll submit to every single person here this morning. And I know there's people here that don't know Jesus as your Savior. You're not saved this morning. When we sing that song, when the roll is called up yonder, you have no idea what we're talking about. And I know there's many Christians that are here this morning, but I'll say the same thing to both groups. Satan wants to use you up, and when he uses you up, he will throw you away and leave you. We read the story of the prodigal son. Son came to dad and said, I want my part of the inheritance. And he got it. His dad gave it to him. He left home, went to a far country, the Bible says, and wasted his inheritance on riotous living. And I can hear the devil talking to the prodigal son. Hey, get your money from your dad. You can't have any fun here at home. I mean, he's got all these crazy rules that he wants you to obey. I mean, he wants you to be obedient. He wants you to do chores, and he wants you to go to bed on time and get up on time, and he has things for you to do. Said, and that's what Satan says. And by the way, Satan says this to our children. That's why it's so important that you have rules for them and you make them obey those rules, and there's penalty if they disobey those rules because you're teaching them about God. That's what God's going to do to them. And so the devil says to the prodigal son, hey, you can't have any fun here at home with dad. Get your money. I'll show you where to go, and we will have a good time. No rules, no boundaries, nobody telling you what to do. You can do anything you want. And Satan will say that to those that don't know Jesus as their Savior, just like he will to Christians. And so the prodigal son gets his inheritance. He goes into that far land, and sure enough, he has fun. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. It's fun for a season. And he has lots of friends, and he doesn't have to obey any rules, and he doesn't have anybody tell him what to do. But one day something happens, and he runs out of money. He spent it all, the Bible says. He lost his friends. He wasn't invited to any more parties. And here's what I think Satan said to him. See ya, sucker. You got nothing left. And he said, hey, wait a minute. I thought we were buddies. I thought you were going to show me a good time. Why are you leaving me now? And Satan says, because you got nothing left. And listen, he hadn't changed. He's the same today as he was back then. He does the same thing to you today. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you know what he's telling you? Hey, you don't need him. You can live in this world without him, and this stuff about heaven and hell, well, it's just somebody's imagination. Just go ahead and live your life the way you want to. Have a good time. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you're going to die and cease to exist. And he will cause you and encourage you and help you to spend everything that you have. And then when you are empty, he'll say, see you, sucker. I'll see you in hell. Because Satan uses people up until they have nothing left. I've used this illustration many times before. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, what have you traded for not receiving Christ? What has Satan given you? Has he given you a bunch of money? I mean, has he said, okay, hey, you give me your soul, then I'll make sure you never run out of money. I want to tell you something. Your money isn't going to be, if you got any left, is not going to be worth anything in eternity. It will not be worth anything in heaven, and it will not be worth anything in hell. It will burn up with this earth. So if you've traded salvation for money, you've made a bad choice. Maybe he said, hey, you give me your soul, you reject Christ, and I'll make sure that you are popular, that you have many, many friends. It's a wonderful thing to have friends. God says friendship is a gift from him. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you do not know what friendship is until you meet this friend. What a friend that we have in Jesus. And if you've traded the friendship of Christ for the friendship of this world, you've made a poor choice. Because our earthly friends often disappoint us. But the friend that we have in Christ will never disappoint us. What have you traded for? I don't care what Satan has offered you. You have made a bad choice if you've traded something for salvation in Jesus Christ. The prodigal son spent all that he had. Satan left him high and dry. Said, see ya. And the prodigal son said, you know, at home in my father's house, the servants have it better than I do. I'm going to go home, tell my dad I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. I just want to be a servant. And he went back home, and I don't have time to tell you the story. You know the story. I'm glad that we have a God that when Satan gets through with us because of our choices, when Satan gets through with us, he will still welcome us into the fold and take us and make us part of his family and put a ring on our finger and a robe on our back and shoes on our feet and welcome us into his family. Now let me ask you this morning, why go through what the prodigal son did? Why go through that time away from God? Why don't you just understand that the devil is lying to you? He's a consumer. He uses things up until they're no more, and then he pitches them away. Why don't you just come to God, who will use you, but never use you up? In fact, when he uses us, he usually gives us more back than he takes. There's a verse in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And a lot of people use that verse only when it comes to money, but it's a verse that applies to everything in our life. Yeah, it applies to money, but it applies to so much more. What that verse is saying is you bring to God what you have, and then he will give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, more than you give to him. It's true when it comes to life. I give him my life. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I find out what eternal life is because he gives it to me. He said, I am come not only to give you life, but to give you life more abundantly. The world says you can't enjoy what God has put in this world by receiving Christ. And God says, you don't know, the Satan doesn't know what he's talking about. The things of this world will be more enjoyable to you as a child of God than as a child of the devil. Now, it doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't make sense. But you will enjoy this world more as a Christian than you will trying to live apart from God. And when you get to eternity, you're sure going to enjoy it a whole lot better. Because you're going to go to heaven instead of hell. And so I give him my life. He gives me life back. He gives me eternal life. He gives me abundant life. I give him my strength. And that verse in Isaiah promises, but they that wait upon the Lord. Again, not sitting down and waiting, but waiting on him like a waiter. I give him my strength. I serve. And the Bible says, and he will renew their strength. I give him my time. I was thinking about when Brother Wendell was singing his second song about taking time. You know, some people get up and they say, I got so many things to do today, I don't have time to read my Bible, I don't have time to pray. And they go out into the day, and then they realize that they should have taken the time to pray and should have taken the time to read their Bible. Because when you give God your time, He will make what's left more efficient. He will make what's left more productive. I mean, I've gotten up on days and said, man, I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time. I'll say a short prayer, but I don't have time to pray like I should. And I go out to the day, and everything goes wrong. Takes me twice as long to get things done as it should. I have all sorts of detours and interruptions. But when I get up with a busy day and I said, no, I'm going to take time to stay in this book and I'm going to take time to pray, I can do the same things and things work better. And people say, well, it's just a coincidence. I said, no, it's not. It's God. It's God. I give Him that little time in the morning to read this book and to pray, and He controls the rest of the day. We have a God that is a multiplying God. He uses us, but He doesn't use us up. I have three quick illustrations this morning. Familiar stories. I got about 8 minutes. I want to tell you them and make a couple of points. First one is a story that's found over in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, about a bush that was on fire but was not consumed. It was a bush that God used to call Moses, to get Moses' attention so He could talk to him and tell him what He wanted him to do. And Moses was keeping his father-in-law's sheep, and he looked out and saw this bush. I said, there's a bush. And he looks out, and he says, it's on fire. And he looks out for a while, but he says, it's not burning up. It just keeps burning and burning and burning and burning. So he told some of the other servants, I got to go see what's going on. I've never seen anything like this before. I've got to go see this bush. And Moses got over to the bush, and God said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. I'm going to send you back to Egypt. I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses went back and did what God told him to do. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, who maketh the ministers a flame of fire? The ministers, not preachers, not just preachers. That's not what that verse is talking about. It's talking about people that serve others. Servants, ministers, people that minister to other people. That includes every Christian. We're all ministers. We all have been called of God to help other people. And God says, I'll make ministers a flame of fire. I'll use the fire of your life to get people's attention so that God can talk to them through you. But you're like that burning bush. You won't burn up. You'll be bright and you'll be on fire, but you won't burn up. You'll just keep burning and burning and burning and burning. It's like a kerosene lamp with a wick. If a kerosene lamp, it doesn't have much kerosene in it, you're burning the wick. The wick burns up quick. But if it's got a lot of kerosene in it and that wick is soaked with that oil, it'll keep burning, but not much of the wick will burn. The oil will burn. Well, the oil in our life is the Holy Spirit. That's why the book of Ephesians says, be ye filled with the Spirit, because it's the Spirit that will burn. It's the Spirit that will get other people's attention so that you can talk to them about Jesus. We sing that little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. How do we let it shine? We let it shine when we're full of the Holy Ghost and He burns and other people see our good works and are drawn to the Father which is in heaven. So let your light shine. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will use you to talk to other people and reach other people, but He will not use you up. Doesn't say in the Bible, you know what? I think when God got talking, you know, I have a list of questions. I add to them every day. I want to ask when I get to heaven. I want to know what happened to that bush. I think it was just the same after it burned that it was before it started. If not better. If not better. The burning bush. Second example I'll give you is Moses. 40 years in Pharaoh's court. 40 years in the wilderness, in the wilderness keeping Jethro's sheep. 40 years leading the people out of Egypt to the promised land. 120 years old. It came time for Moses to die. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 34, verse 7, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, and his natural forces abated. I was trying to claim this verse yesterday. I'm only 56. 6, Brother Wendell. And my eye is already, I mean, I have to adjust my, I take them off, I clean them, I move them back and forward. I still can't see. I got to go to the eye doctor. Hopefully he can help. But here's a guy, 120 years old. He could see as good as when he was a teenager. He had as much vitality as when he was a teenager. Now, listen, God, Moses served God the last 40 years of his life. It was not an easy job leading the Israelites through to the promised land. Moses was a servant of God, and he served God. 18 times in the book of Joshua, Moses is referred to as the servant of the Lord. But because Moses gave himself to God as a servant, God said, okay, I'm going to use you, but I'm not going to use you up. When you die, you're going to be just as strong, just as vibrant as you were when we started this journey together. You say, well, yeah, Moses died, though. Well, yeah, I know he died. We're all going to die if the Lord doesn't come back. But he died a servant of God with his eye not dim or his natural forces unabated. In Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now, listen to what the Bible says. This is God's word. I believe every word that's in here. Here's a promise from God. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Not only on the outside, but on the inside is what he's saying in this verse. Not only in your actions, but in your thoughts. Not only what you do that people can see, but what you think and feel that people can't see. Live by this book. And he says, I'll add length of days and long life and peace. And peace. Hey, if I told you this morning, hey, over here in Montrose, I have found the fountain of youth. You can go over there and take a drink and you'll never get another day older. Shoot, you'd leave right now. You wouldn't even let me get done. You say, where is it? I'm going to go right now. And you'd want to go take a drink. I'm telling you, you want to know how to have a long life, length of days, peace, the peace that passeth understanding? You live by this book. He'll use you, but he'll never use you up. And number 3, I got to hurry. Last illustration. Elijah was on the run from Jezebel. God sent him to a creek, fed him with birds for a while. But when the creek dried up, he said, I want you to go in such and such a city. There's a widow there, and she'll feed you. So he went to this city and saw the widow out gathering some sticks. And he said, hey, would you get me a drink? And there was a famine going on, and there was a drought. So she said, yeah, we got a little water. I'll go get you a drink. And he said, well, will you make me a little cake? And she said, well, I only got a little bit of meal. I only got a little bit of oil. I'm actually out gathering sticks so I can make one more cake for my son and I to eat. And everything's gone, and we're going to die because we have nothing else to eat. And Elijah said, go ahead and make a cake, but make the first one for me. And the widow said, well, you don't understand. No, Elijah said, listen, make the first one for me and then go make one for you and your son. And the widow said, but you don't understand. There's just enough meal and just enough oil in the pot to make one, just one. Not one for you and one for us, just one. And Elijah said, just go ahead and make the first one for me. And this was not a Jew. This was a Gentile lady. This was a heathen according to the Jews. And yet she had enough faith to do what this man of God said. She went and made him a cake. And then she went back to the bucket, back to the cruse of oil and the bucket where she kept her meal. And sure enough, there's a little bit more in there. So she scraped the bottom of the bucket and got the meal out and the oil. She poured out. She had enough to make one cake for her and her son. She said, it's amazing. And you know how long that went on for? I don't know, but it went on day after day after day, week after week, month after month, maybe year after year. I mean, the bucket was empty. The cruse of oil was empty, and yet God used it but did not use it up. He used it day after day. but did not use it up. We come to God and we say, I don't have much to give, but what I have is yours. What I have is yours. And you know what? If we'll do that, God will do some wonderful things. Can you imagine? Just put yourself in the place of that mother when that little boy that shared his lunch came home. They were poor. That's why the cakes were made out of barley. I mean, if you had money, you made your cakes out of wheat. If you made your cakes out of barley cakes like these were, you were poor. A poor family. A poor family. She made him a little lunch. He comes back with 12 basketfuls of fish and bread. 12 basketfuls. Here's a widow. One cake, and then we're done. We're going to die. Who ate week after week after week because she brought the little bit that she had to God, and God used it, but he never used it up. So there's the two extremes. You got Satan that will take everything you have, use you up, and when you're used up, he'll throw you away and desert you and say, hey, you're on your own. Good luck. No, he won't even say that. You're on your own. And here's God. Say, hey, I'll use you, but I won't use you up. I'll make sure whatever you give me, that you'll get blessings. You'll get more. You'll end up with more than you started with. Now, don't walk out of here and say, well, I'm going to give all my money to the church because the preacher said that God will give me millions. So I'm going to give all my money. I'm going to save a dollar. I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket, and I'll win because God's going to bless me. Your preacher did not say that. And I'll remind you again, the blessings of God that don't come in the form of money are so much better than money. You read about some of these people that have won a lot of money. It has destroyed their life. You say, well, no, it won't happen to me. Oh, yeah. So which one are you going to pick? You're going to pick the one that uses everything you have, empties you out, leaves you in the hog pen feeding the pigs, so hungry that you're ready to eat their slop? Or you're going to choose the one that will multiply the little bit that we have and use it? I don't know about you. I'm going to choose this one. I'm going to choose this one. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can break the devil's grip this morning. You don't have to live for him. You can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can do it right now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, the stories that you put in this book that remind us of